Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast. I'm your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, and we are at last week of November. Cannot believe it, but here we are. About to head into Christmas, people wearing their Christmas shirts. But anyway, I digress. We are also finishing our month talking about elder law. And we've talked about a few issues this month, and you can go back to the three previous podcasts where we've really talked about some things that are relevant to elder law and what it is and elder abuse. But this week, I thought it would be good to talk about some trends I'm seeing with more elderly people in our society. I don't want to be disrespectful when I say the word elder or elderly, but I'm really talking about the elders in our life and just the issues that I'm seeing day to day, and I thought that might be of interest to people. I also think it would be, I don't want to say a warning, but I think some things, you know, if you yourself are getting older or you have an aging parent, just some things that you need to be aware of, things that I'm just seeing day to day. And I think it's really a product of poor planning on behalf of not only the elder person, but I think families generally. I think a lot of people stay in denial about their parents getting older or themselves getting older, and it does cause quite a few issues. So I just wanted to go through some elder law trends that I'm seeing. So the first one is not having an enduring power of attorney, and this is really a big one. So for whatever reason, people don't have an enduring power of attorney and they have quite quickly and quite suddenly lost capacity. And then you've got children that have no authority really to do anything, or you have, you know, one child asserting themselves, but really with no authority. And it kind of ends up with, what do we do? And so I think the things that you really need to think about are, when you have capacity, do an enduring power of attorney. Okay, 100%. You can go back, I think maybe like 10 episodes back, I did a whole month talking about enduring powers of attorney. And if you don't have one and you do lose capacity, it is a problem, okay? And I think the other thing is that people do their enduring power of attorney and then don't update it. So the relationship or the family dynamic within, you know, within the families has changed, and that's just not reflected in people's enduring powers of attorney, and that can be a problem as well. Now, if you don't have an enduring power of attorney, or if there's a problem with your enduring power of attorney, your loved ones might be off to QCAT to seek an order for guardianship or financial administration pending, you know, your particular situation. So it's really important, and that is a really hard one when people come to me and say, listen, like, my parent has lost capacity, but there's no enduring power of attorney. What do we do? And that is really difficult, expensive process. So an enduring power of attorney, I mean, obviously, I think you should get one done with a solicitor like myself, but you can just get on the Department of Justice website, download one, fill it out, get it witnessed by a JP, and you're good to go. But if you don't have one, it can cause a lot of issues. So that's one thing that I'm seeing that's quite problematic for my clients. The next thing is where a client, so the elder person has lost capacity, likely lost capacity, you know, and they haven't had this confirmed yet by a medical practitioner. And, you know, an adult child has come to me and just like, what do we do? You know, I'm pretty sure there's issues here. I'm pretty sure there's loss of capacity. They're doing some crazy stuff. Like, what do we do now? And it really depends on what your enduring power of attorney says, whether you give your attorney's immediate power, or whether you give your attorney's power on incapacity in terms of financial decisions. So it's really being unsure about what is next steps. And what I first encourage is to talk to that elder person and explain your concerns and say, listen, do you think we should go to a doctor together and just see what they say? Usually when you get them in front of a doctor, that's the really hard first step. And I often say, you know, Get them there under another pretense, that's fine. And getting an assessment of capacity is really important, because if they do have capacity, fantastic. If they don't have capacity, what are our next steps? What can we do? But I find a lot of people do come to me with this concern that they feel like the elder person in their life has lost capacity and they just are really unsure of next steps. So that's something I'm seeing day to day as well. The next thing I'm seeing is, and this is a big one, is child-sibling conflict. So where you have multiple children and they are in conflict with each other. Now, the most common scenario I see is where there's multiple children and one child has been appointed attorney and is making all the decisions without the consultation of the other siblings, or they might be estranged from those other siblings and those estranged siblings are having issues. And look, this is one of the hardest situations that I do deal with. And I just had someone this week inquire about it, actually having concerns about their elderly parent and not having a lot of transparency. So the first thing I encourage is often, you know, transparency. Talk to the parent, you know, how are they feeling about the situation? What's their views? And then if you have some very serious concerns that you think that can be substantiated, the Office of Public Guardian is a great resource, a great place to go. They are very good at listening, investigating, understanding the situation, and I found that they're a really good place to go. And that's a good place if you feel like you have concerns, but they may not be, I guess, warranted of taking civil action or criminal action. And I did talk about this 2 weeks ago in the podcast about elder abuse, talking about, you know, one of the realities is that there's really no central place to go if you think that elder abuse is occurring, whether that be financial or health-wise, you know, neglect, that kind of thing. It's really hard to know what to do. So if you have concerns that you don't think can be substantiated, the Office of Public Guardian is an awesome place to go. If you have concerns that you believe can be substantiated, like, you know, there's misappropriation of funds, you know that there are issues, the police or a lawyer is a really good place to start. But I'm seeing that a lot of sibling conflict. And a lot of people don't know that in your enduring powers of attorney, you can put your wishes and your views in there. And I will have a lot of people, particularly if they have something like 4 or 5 kids, I say it's pretty hard to have all of them appointed. But what you can do is in the wishes section, you can put that you want your attorneys to liaise regularly with all their siblings as to the care of that parent. Because when you have capacity and when you have the ability to do that, I think it's important to voice what you want, what your concerns are. And I am actually next year undertaking a collaborative practice training in terms of wills and estates. And so I'm going to come back to this, you know, later next year in the podcast, talking about how we can really have a more collaborative approach, because I feel like in these situations, everyone wants the same thing. They want the best for their elderly parent, but it's like, how do we get there? How can we open communication? How do we sort that out? So that's something I'm seeing a lot of, sibling conflict. And the other thing I think that goes hand in hand, and maybe some people might roll their eyes a little bit at this one, it's just this child entitlement. Okay, I'm seeing a lot, and I guess it's probably raised by the sibling who's in conflict with the sibling attorney. But this thought process, and I think it's from, you know, elderly parents too, this like, I have to keep this money because my child has to get it. Or people are so concerned about what's happening to their inheritance, you know? And I find it, explain this without offending everyone. I find it really difficult. I'm extremely close and with my grandparents. I've only got 2 left now, but I was extremely close with all of them. I have no sense of entitlement at all with them or my parents. You know, my view is you earned it, you spent it. And these people that come to me and they are mainly concerned about their inheritance, what's coming to them before their parent has even died, it drives me bloody bonkers. So I think that's another trend that I'm really seeing. And my view for, you know, people doing their wills or thinking about that is it's your money, you spend it. I will often talk to people about, you know, making sure that you've got enough funds if you need to have some medical, if you have medical issues, you need to go into high care. I said, but at the end of the day, it's your money. And I'm more concerned about you and your ability to live than I am concerned about what you're leaving for your children. So a lot of people come to me concerned from a financial abuse perspective, whether their inheritance is being misused by the attorney. And, you know, you're allowed to have concerns, but I just I don't like the motive. I might lose people over this, but anyway, that's just my view. So, and those are the trends that I'm seeing. So those are the things that I'm seeing and things that I think you really need to think of when you're dealing with an elderly person or whether you are someone that's doing an injury and power of attorney, you know, thinking, do I have an injury and power of attorney? Is it up to date? Are my attorneys appropriate? What is it going to look like at the point of time that when I lose capacity? And what's the dynamics with my family? How can I ensure that everyone comes together and is making the right decisions for me? These are all things that I think are really important and things that are going to come up more and more in practice due to our aging population. So those are just some trends that I'm seeing, just my little tidbits for you. If you are interested in talking about this further or you have a situation that you're like, oh my God, Lydia, you've hit the nail on the head, you can pop on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au, book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar, and we can sort through whatever your problem is. So really exciting. November's over. Next month is December and we are going to be talking about superannuation. I'm sure everyone's sick of hearing about superannuation. It's been pounded in the news recently, but it's a really important part of your estate plan. It's something that people misunderstand and don't think of in the right way when they're thinking about their estate plan. So we're only going to have 2 weeks talking about super and then I'm going to do a 2025 wrap up and then that's the end of the year. Wild, wild. But anyway, have a great week and I will speak to you next week. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, visit www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.